This audio is machine generated. Please excuse any mispronunciations. Odysseus Against Forgetfulness, Aletheia, the Lotus, and Christ by Elvis Isaacs. One episode in Homer's Odyssey that particularly caught my attention is the encounter with the Lotus Eaters. Odysseus and his men are blown off course and arrive on an island where some of his men are given lotus to eat. The fruit does not make them violent. It does not destroy their bodies. It does something more subtle and, in a way, more terrifying. It makes them forget. After eating the lotus, the men no longer desire home. The journey loses its meaning. Ithaca no longer pulls on their hearts. They are still alive, still conscious, still physically present among their companions, but something essential has been severed. They have lost the thread of their own story. That is what makes the scene so powerful. Odysseus is trying to save his men from forgetfulness. Since they can no longer remember rightly for themselves, he must remember for them. He drags them back to the ships and binds them beneath the benches, because their own desires have turned against them. In that moment, Odysseus becomes a guardian of memory. He remembers the mission when his men cannot. He remembers home when they no longer want it. He remembers who they are when they have forgotten themselves. For readers familiar with Christopher Nolan's adaptation of the Odyssey, this is one place where Homer's original scene differs from the film. Nolan shifts the lotus imagery onto Odysseus himself and connects it with Calypso's island. In Homer's poem, Odysseus does not eat the lotus. His men do. That difference matters for this reflection because, in Homer, Odysseus becomes the one who remembers on behalf of those who have forgotten. This point is especially fitting because the Odyssey itself comes to us from a world of memory. Before it was a text to be read silently, it belonged to an oral tradition of poets and performers who carried these stories across generations. Ancient tradition remembers Homer as blind, though scholars still debate who Homer was, whether he was one poet or a name attached to a larger tradition, and how these poems eventually came to be written down. Either way, the epics themselves bear the marks of oral memory. They were composed in dactylic hexameter, a rhythmic meter that helped make long bodies of poetry memorable and performable. Repeated phrases, patterns, and scenes worked almost like musical structures. Just as it is easier to remember the words of a song than a paragraph from a textbook, rhythm and repetition help these stories live in the minds and mouths of those who receive them. This reminded me of the significance of memory in the ancient world. In societies shaped by oral tradition, memory was never a small thing. A people did not preserve their life together only by storing information somewhere outside themselves. They carried their history, laws, songs, prayers, duties, and identity in living memory, passing them from one generation to the next. To forget was therefore to endanger an inheritance. It was to risk losing not only facts, but a way of life. What was forgotten could fail to be handed down. What was no longer remembered could disappear from the imagination, worship, and practices of future generations. This is why the ancient concern about writing is so fascinating. In Plato's Phaedrus, Socrates expresses suspicion toward writing because he fears it may weaken true memory. Writing, he argues, can give people the appearance of wisdom while leaving the soul unchanged. People may come to depend on external marks instead of carrying understanding within themselves. Whether or not one agrees with Socrates, his concern reveals something important. Memory was bound up with formation. To remember was to be shaped by what one carried. This also helps illuminate the Greek word aletheia, commonly translated as truth. The word carries the sense of disclosure, unveiling, or unconcealment. It is related to lethe, forgetfulness or concealment. In Greek mythology, the dead could drink from the river Lethe and forget who they were. Aletheia stands against that darkness. Truth brings reality into the light. It uncovers what had been hidden. It restores sight where forgetfulness had clouded the soul. This is one of the reasons my wife and I named our daughter Aletheia. At the most basic level, her name means truth. And for us, truth is ultimately found in Christ. But the name carries more than one layer. It speaks of revelation, identity, memory, duty, and reality. It reminds me that truth grounds us. Truth reveals who God is, who we are, and what we were made for. The Lotus Eaters show what happens when memory is lost. When Odysseus's men forget their home, they forget their mission. Their purpose fades because their identity has faded. I do not say this to glorify intellectual ability or to look down upon those who suffer from neurological illness, such as Alzheimer's disease or dementia. That is a different kind of suffering and deserves compassion, tenderness, and honor. The point here is spiritual and moral. Human beings need to be grounded in truth because we are always vulnerable to forgetfulness. We forget our calling. We forget our purpose. We forget God. Eventually, we forget ourselves. Scripture understands this danger well. Again and again, Israel is commanded to remember. Remember the Lord who brought you out of Egypt. Remember his commandments. Remember his covenant. Remember his mighty works. In Scripture, forgetting God means living as though he is not the source of life. It is a break from reality. Sin then can be understood as a kind of spiritual amnesia. It makes us forget who God is and who we are before him. It teaches us to call exile home, slavery freedom, and passing pleasure life. Like the lotus, sin often arrives sweetly. It numbs before it destroys. It quiets the longing for home until we no longer notice that we are far away. That is why the gospel is deeper than the command to try harder. Odysseus's men could not simply think their way out of the lotus. Their perception had been altered. Their desires had been disordered. They had forgotten the journey. In a similar way, the gospel tells us that our deepest problem is bondage to sin, deception, and forgetfulness. We need rescue. We need revelation. We need Christ. As a Christian, I believe truth is ultimately personal because truth is found in Jesus Christ. He says, "I am the way and the truth and the life." He is the Logos through whom all things were made and in whom all things hold together. To seek truth is to be drawn into communion with the one who grounds all reality. This is why the incarnation matters so deeply. Human history itself is marked by the coming of Christ. Even our calendars bear witness, however imperfectly, to the claim that something happened in history that reordered humanity's sense of time. The eternal Word entered creation. Truth took on flesh. Reality himself stepped into the world he made. Proverbs says, "It is the glory of God to conceal a matter. To search out a matter is the glory of kings." There is something kingly about the pursuit of truth. Odysseus, a king, rescues his men from forgetfulness and leads them back toward home. The Christian confession goes further still. We search because God first reveals. What God conceals is finally unveiled in Christ. The mystery hidden from the ages is made known in him. This is why Christian remembrance is so central. Throughout Scripture, God's people are taught to remember. The Passover is given as a memorial. Israel's worship is filled with remembrance. The Lord's Supper is given with the words, "Do this in remembrance of me." Christian remembrance reaches deeper than recollection. When Christ gathers his people to his table, he does not leave them grasping backward toward an absent Lord. He comes to them as the living Lord, giving himself for them and to them. He restores memory by restoring communion. He teaches his people again who God is, who they are, and what they were made for. The contrast with the lotus eaters is striking. Homer gives us a meal that draws men into forgetfulness. The lotus steals the desire for home. It makes exile feel peaceful. It leaves men alive but unmoored. At the Lord's table, Christ gives the opposite gift. He feeds his people with himself, with the body and blood of the one who is truth incarnate. This is remembrance, but remembrance made flesh. Christ does not call us merely to think about him from a distance. He gathers us, feeds us, forgives us, and restores us to communion with himself. Sin feeds us forgetfulness. Christ gives us himself. The lotus makes men forget their home. Christ, who is truth himself, gives himself as the way home. And this is not only a meditation on a name, it is the shape of the Christian life. All of us know what it is to forget. We forget who God is. We forget who we are. We forget what we were made for. We become distracted, numbed, restless, proud, afraid, or satisfied with exile. We do not always lose ourselves all at once. Sometimes forgetfulness comes slowly. Desire weakens, prayer becomes distant, the things of God feel less real. Home no longer pulls on the heart as it once did. But Christ does not abandon his people to forgetfulness. He comes after us. He speaks his word. He washes us in baptism. He feeds us with his body and blood. He places his name upon us. He gathers us back into the story of his mercy. He remembers his covenant, and by his grace, he teaches us to remember again. This is the hope I pray over Aletheia, and it is the hope all of us need, that Christ would keep calling us back to himself. When sin makes us forget, may he restore us. When suffering hides his goodness from our sight, may he reveal himself again. When the world offers us many lesser truths, may he anchor us in the truth who took on flesh. Aletheia's name will always remind me of this hope. What is hidden from us is not hidden from God. What sin obscures, Christ reveals. What we forget, he remembers in mercy. He is the truth who entered our forgetfulness, took on our flesh, bore our sin, and now gives himself to us. As Irenaeus famously wrote, the glory of God is a human being fully alive. We become fully alive as we are united to Christ. Apart from him, we wander like the lotus eaters, forgetting our home, our purpose, and ourselves. In him, the veil is lifted, reality is unveiled. We are remembered by God, restored to communion, and made alive in the Son. And so my prayer for Aletheia is the same prayer I need for myself, and the same hope held out to all of us, that Christ would keep us in the truth, restore us when we forget, and bring us at last to the home for which we were made.